said, I'm already praying. And it was just a simple little connection. I thought, you know what, next year or next time, if we do a 24 hours of prayer again this year, which I think is a really cool event to do, I think maybe we'll just do a chain that way. So whoever signed up next, you call them or you text them. And that way, because I felt more connected doing that. I thought that was really cool. Speaking of prayer, I've got a number of scriptures to read here from 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, about a woman who was praying. And this is for J. Henry's message that he's going to be sharing. It says, there was a certain man from Ramathim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zuf, an Ephonite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Pray with me. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds as we open our eyes and ears to your word. Lord, I ask that you would bless Jay and the words that you have placed on his heart that he's been looking forward to sharing with us on your behalf today. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the very, very many different stories that we find in there. Stories of faith and prayer. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. J. Henry.
Good morning. It's my privilege and honor to stand before you on this special day. And I want to express my gratitude and thanks to the elders of this church, the leaders who are here, and also to Dusty for trusting me to take his place today. I hope I'll do justice. This is something very special to me, and I may get emotional while I'm speaking to you. So if I do, bear with me, please. Mother's Day is a very special day, and I want to congratulate and say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers. I say grandmothers because they do play a very important role in the life of a child. Mother, something very special that God has created on this earth. Someone has said, mother is a fragrance which provides sweet aroma to the world. Mother is like a shade of a tree which takes all the tiredness of the world away. Mother's prayer is a call that goes straight to the heaven, straight to heaven. Mother is like a torch in this dark world which shows the right path to walk. Mother is a sweet song whose melody provides the feeling of life. No matter how spoiled a child is, mother's prayer is always with him or her. like rain clouds that showers all on all of us, mother's love is in the same way. There is no discrimination. And I'm thankful to Dusty for reading the scripture for me. Here is a story of a mother. Mother who consecrated her only son to God. At that time she had only, later on she had three sons and two daughters. But after year, she had no child and God gave him one son. But she had already vowed that if you give me a son, I'm going to give him to you, God. So she gave Samuel, her only son, to God Almighty. Verse 19 says, each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And the Bible, of course, has many fascinating stories. As Brother Dusty has said, we have battle scenes, we have Egyptian army being drowned by God, we have a story of David killing Goliath, we have defeat and victories of the first king Saul, and we have so many other stories in the Bible. Then there is a biblical doctrine that is underlying in all the teachings of prophets and the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the writers and others, other writers in the New Testament and Old Testament as well. But among these true stories and teachings, we also find a mother here. A mother and a father making their yearly pilgrim to the religious shrine at Shiloh. And there they are visiting their only son, Samuel. Samuel means heard of God. That because of her dedication to the Lord, Hannah had given her child to God Almighty for his service. As they visited every year, it is said that the mother made a robe for his son and took it to him every year when they went to Shiloh. So let's see what this robe is all about. The robe was a symbol of mother's love and care for her son. How many of you have something that you still cherish that your mother or grandmother made or bought for you? I have so many things of my grandmother. The most is the precious memories of my grandmother that I have. You know, how many of us take those things and very proudly display those in our rooms, or even when we are in college, we take them to college, we come back and hang them in our rooms. We are gone to work or something, we come back to our room and we see those things and we appreciate the love that we had received from our mothers or grandmothers. With time, they become dusty, they become torn down, they look old, and yet we can't get rid of them because they are precious to us. Nothing can compare. No price can ever pay for what it means to us in our hearts if we have that kind of heart. All of us, or most of us, have to this day some precious recollections of our mothers or our grandmothers that have done something for us or given us something that is so precious to us in our hearts. So the mother here is taking a robe to her child every year, which was the symbol of her love, and she made it every year, it is said. So I could just see it in my mind, a television I keep here when I read stories like this. I go back and I walk with the story. So I see the mother taking the robe. Okay, today, I mean, I'm going to be there. He is, what, 6? Okay, next year he's 7. Next year, oh boy, I don't know. Samuel must have had they didn't have hangers then. I don't know how he did, but there would be a line of, you know, robes that were hanging. Reminder of mother's love every year that she brought for him. And he cherished each one of them. So the robe was, I said, a symbol of her love for the son. But that robe was also, secondly, a symbol of mother's dedication of her child to the Lord. She said, I'm going to give this child to the Lord. And she consecrated her son for his service. It is said in 26, 28 verses, first chapter. And she said to him, to Eli, As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. It's easy many times to make promises. Very easy. I will do this, I will do that. If I earn this much, I'll give this much to the Lord and so forth. But when we really get it and time comes to give, oh, we hesitate. We hesitate. Oh, I have so much, you know, more that I need to do. So, well, I said, but Lord understand. So, you know, instead of what I said, I'll give, but maybe I'll bring him every year to the service to the Lord. No, she said, well, I consecrated him before he was born, so he is God's. Take him. Because of her trust in the Lord, Samuel's foundation was very solid. And as we read the history in the Bible for 2 Samuel and also in the Kings, we find what a man Samuel was. God's prophet, God's leader, who did so many things because God blessed him in every way. And it was all because the mother who had taught him from the very beginning, the mother who had the courage, who had the dedication to go to the temple and give this child for the service of the Lord. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he boasted about the faith that Timothy had, but he attributed the foundation of Timothy's faith to his mother and grandmother Eunice. He said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. My friends, mothers are very special in the family. It is said that a house is a house when a man lives there. It's a house. When the wife or the lady or the partner, life partner, walks in the house, that house becomes home. Before that, it's not a home. It's a house. And you go to any bachelor's house, you could tell that no mother, no lady's woman's hand is here. You know, you could tell everything is so. I don't have to tell you. A woman is a special creation of God. And when she becomes a mother, she is much more special to God and to the family. She is the one who leads the family in the direction of the Lord. And blessed are those mothers who take it that if they are not strong in faith, their family is going to be shattered. And the mothers who care about their families, they will do one thing first. They will dedicate themselves to God, and then they will lead their husbands, their children, and everybody in the house in the path of the Lord. And that's exactly this mother was doing. And it was carried over from mother to the son, and then to the nation because of Samuel. Thirdly, the robe was also a symbol of a mother's joy and pride in her son. I tried to imagine the satisfaction that Samuel's mother had as she visited year after year Shiloh and met with Eli. What Eli must have been telling her. Could you imagine? Oh man, this boy of yours is a pride. He is so good. He's so faithful. I'm so blessed to have him here in the temple. Mothers, when you listen to somebody that is responsible telling about your son or daughter to you, how good they are, how do you feel? How do you feel? Do you feel proud? Do you feel uplifted? Well, I do. When my children did well, somebody would come and tell, oh, your daughters are doing so well. Oh, they are so beautiful. And he said, thank you, God, they don't look like me. But they are pride of the parents, especially of the mother who drives them in the way of the Lord. Her joy increased every year as she met with Eli, and then she met with her son. And Christian mothers' hearts are always filled with a spiritual pride when they see their children growing up like that. Mothers and grandmothers, I want to urge you to be very careful how you train your children, how you bring them up. Sometimes in today's world, we think, oh, they have their own lives. Okay, they let them go the way they want to go. Let them be grow up the way they want to grow up. But that's not right. That's not right. You see, when you plant a seed and the stems come out, and if they are going crooked, you have to tie a stick or something so it will grow straight. If you don't, it will go here and there. That's exactly children are when they are coming out of the ground, shooting out. You have to guide and direct them. The right path, the right values, the right way to be with the Lord. Otherwise, this world has so much attraction and distraction that the children just are taken astray just like that. Because today's company is bad. Outside the church, you go and you hear the language of the young people today, and you look at their deeds, and you just watch them do things that they do. In your heart, you don't want your child to be that way, do you? No, you never do. But the only way the children would be straightened up and do the right thing, when the mothers and grandmothers keep an eye and also do the right thing with their children and grandchildren. But first, examine your own self. If you examine your own self and you take a stand for your own, and then you can guide your children and grandchildren to the right path, they will follow you and they will become a pride to the Lord and also to the people around them and also to the family. So much depends on a mother. Let me just briefly share with you a true story, very true story. And that's why I said I may get emotional when I tell you this story, but I want to. I'm talking about 100 years ago or even more, when India did not have the kind of government we have today. There were clan leaders, there were small kings. And this is a story of a clan leader who was a man of his stature. He was a man who had wealth. He was a man who had influence in the society. And he had lots of money. So this man was living in a small town at that time. Now the town is very big. And I said it's a true story. Well, a little over 100 years, some missionary ladies came in that area about 8 miles, 10 miles away from where this man was. And they were looking a way to witness to the people. And at that age in India, girls were not educated. Girls were taken as, you know, less than second-class citizens. They still are in India. They are not treated equally. Now they are bringing it up, but still we are too far behind. And at that time, no education for girls. But the people who were rich, the teacher would come to the house of the rich people and teach and train their girls. So this man, rich man's wife, was taught in her home and she was educated. So the missionary ladies came and they were trying to find a way to start a girls' school in the area. But no mother and father would send the girls to a school when there were male teachers. They wanted only female teachers. And female teachers at that time was very hard to find. So somehow these ladies came to know about this woman who is educated but belongs to a rich family. And in India, the women still do not take their own decisions. They have to ask the husband. And I'm talking about more than 100 years ago. It was impossibility for a woman to stand on her own. So the ladies knew that, the culture. So they came to this rich man and said, "Sir, we want to start an education program for the girls, but we need lady teachers. And we have come to know that your wife is educated. So would you please allow her to come to the school that we are just starting to teach the girls, so the parents will send their kids to the school, their girl child?" Well, the man considered and said, "Well, I don't need any money, but I do want you to send a carriage to take my wife, and then when she's done, bring her back. I will allow." So during those days, there were horse carriages. So a horse carriage will come, take the lady to the school where the mission compound was, and she would teach. But while spending time with the missionary ladies, she also attended the chapel. And she came to learn about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. And she was impressed. But boy, you're talking about danger. But this lady continued to be there. Time passed and she continued to listen. And then she started asking questions. And the ladies were gracious. They told her about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Well, when she heard it, her faith started becoming strong. And she saw what they don't have in their religion, hundreds of gods, but no guarantee of salvation. It's all mystery, if you know about Hindu religion. It's all mystery. But in Christianity, in Jesus Christ, we are offered salvation today, and we have it now. It's not that we'll get it in the future. If I'm saved, I'm saved today, right now. And I know I'm going to go to heaven. She never had that. So she was so impressed, and she already made up her mind. Well, what happened one day, as the men were having their meeting in the living room and the women of the house were not allowed to go when the men were meeting. They still are not. When men have their meeting, conference somewhere, the ladies are not allowed house. But because they were rich, they had servants. So the maid servant was taking tea and snacks, which is a custom in India, to the people who were sitting and talking. It was evening time. And she came and asked the lady of the house, "What have you done? Something disgraceful you must have done." She said, "I haven't done anything disgraceful." And disgraceful in India means bad character. She said, "No, I'm very faithful to my husband, my family, everything. I haven't done anything disgraceful. Why do you ask me that?" And she said, "Do you know what they are talking about inside?" She said, "No, I don't know." And she said, "They are going to kill you tonight." And they could have done it, got away with it too. Why? Why? And she knew why. So she said, "Okay, this is the time. I have to make a decision." So she took her son, who was less than a year old, and ran from the back door, bare feet. And she continued to run. She didn't know anything in the world. She wanted to just run. And she ran to the mission compound miles away. And she reached, knocked the door. The ladies came out, said, "What are you doing at this hour?" "I need shelter. I need a place." Bare feet, bleeding. "What's the matter?" And they took her in and they told what's the matter. She told what's the matter. Well, the ladies took her in and cared for her. The meeting was over. The man did not find his wife in the house. And he was mad. Mad means mad. Then he came to know what had happened. Well, he declared, "I do not want that woman back in my house. She has disgraced me. We would have killed her. And now for me, she is dead. But I want my son back. So he filed a court case. And at that time, the law was such that he would get the son. Time was going on. Case was going on. But in the meantime, epidemic plague spread over. And it hit the family, and the man died. The relatives now did not want the son back, because if the son would come back, he would be the heir. And they did not want to lose all the riches and the money and everything the man owned. He did not have any more children, just the son. So they did not want, so they did not pursue. But one more tragedy happened. The mother ran bare feet, I told you. And because of that, she developed tetanus. And after some time, she died. Well, what the world said. Look, what a wrong decision this woman had made. To accept a foreign religion, leaving her own religion, her family, her riches, everything. And now see what the little boy has got. He has no inheritance. He lost his dad. He lost his mother. He is an orphan. What good has come out of this? Nothing. Well, the missionary ladies reared up the boy. Became a young man. And as much as she was with the ladies learning about the gospel of Jesus Christ and him as his savior, he accepted. And he became educated teacher. So he started teaching. Then he married a Christian girl. She also was a teacher. In due time, God blessed them with a son. And they named him Livingston. You know Livingston? He was a great missionary. After some time, they had another son. And the father named him Stanley. That's another great missionary. And the objective in his mind, or the thought in his mind, was that someday my boys will tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And the third child they had was a girl. Well, the older son, whose name was Livingston, his Indian name was Vijay. Vijay was the man who stood against all odds. And in 1969, he started the mission called Mid India Christian Mission. And the little girl grown up is Ramola, who is my wife. Today, my friends, because of the faithfulness of that one mother who left her home, who left her husband, who left all the riches to follow Christ, because of her dedication, because of her love for Jesus, this mission is there today. And because of one man's decision to stand against all odds to start a mission for Jesus Christ, today more than 50,000 people are worshiping God through Christ. one woman's decision to stand firm
in her faith.
And I'm so fortunate to be connected to that family through my wife, serving the Lord along with Vijay Stanley. Today we have crossed so many milestones, and we look forward to many more. God gives me life, otherwise the young generation has already taken over. And we are going to go forward. Today, India is going through a very rough phase as far as Christianity is concerned. They are making their agendas to persecute Christians and wipe out Christianity by 2021. That's their aim. But I tell you what, no matter what, we will continue to stand firm in our faith and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he is the only hope of this world today. My friends, a special honor to the mothers and grandmothers who are rearing their children in the way of the Lord. Because of that, we are there serving the Lord. I still remember, and I have the foundation because of my grandmother, who taught me all the Bible stories when I was a child, sitting in her lap, stories of David, stories of giants of the faith like Moses and Noah and all. And I still have that in my mind. And those are the foundations on which I stand. And I thank God for mothers and grandmothers who love the Lord. God bless you.
What a blessing, as always. As always, thank you so much. That's a bit of history that I don't think any of us knew of mid-India, and such an encouragement to all of us that you don't know the ripples of the that go out from the impact of one decision that you make, one decision of faithfulness. This morning during our invitation time, I encourage you to talk to God about what your faith is resulting in today, what you're doing today, what the ripples are going to be tomorrow. You have no idea, but you can control what you do today, and today's actions need to be faithful, faithful, faithful in order to have ripples like this woman's ripples were and still continue to be. So this morning during our invitation song, as you pray and as you share with God, if you want to come forward and have someone pray with you, we encourage you to come down and pray on one of the front pews, and someone will come pray with you. If you want to pray alone, you can come up by the stage, or you can pray from where you are. This morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this hope that Jay spoke of, we have the freedom of being able to have you come forward, to be able to baptize you into Christ here today without having to drive hundreds of miles to a border. Are you still doing that? Is that the case? Because that's those of you who don't remember the last time he was here. I believe it was the last time you were sharing about that. That in order to baptize people, they have to go across the border because it's illegal to baptize where they are. We can baptize you right here today. Now, we don't have to drive anywhere. And yet there are still people with nothing standing in the way. I mean, just yards of space instead of miles. And you still have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. And it's so easy here. So this morning, if that's never happened, we encourage you to come forward and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've already done that and you want to place your membership here, we invite you to come forward to do that also during this next song as we stand and we sing our song of invitation.